requests to the intelligence community that it comply with the law by transferring its historical documents to the State Archive and allowing publication of materials 50 years old or more, were met with stony silence. A petition to the Supreme Court for an order forcing compliance with the law was dragged out over years, with the complicity of the court, and ended with nothing but an amendment to the law itself. The secrecy provisions were extended from 50 to 70 years, longer than the history of the state. The defense establishment did not merely sit with folded arms. As early as 2010, before the contract for this book was even signed, a special meeting was held in the Mossad's operations division, Kaiseria, to discuss ways of disrupting my research. Letters were written to all former Mossad employees warning them against giving interviews, and individual conversations were held with certain ex-staffers who were considered the most problematic. Later, in 2011, the chief of the general staff of the IDF, Lieutenant General Gabi Ashkenazi, asked the Shin Bet to take aggressive steps against the author, claiming that I had perpetrated aggravated espionage by having in my possession classified secrets and using classified material in order to disparage me, Ashkenazi, personally. Since then, several actions have been taken by various bodies to stop publication of the book, or at least large parts of it. The military censor requires the Israeli media to add the words, according to foreign publications, whenever it mentions secret actions attributed to Israeli intelligence, primarily targeted assassinations. This is to make it clear that the existence of the publication does not constitute official acknowledgement of Israel's responsibility. In this sense, then, this book must be taken as a foreign publication, whose contents do not have any official Israeli confirmation. None of the 1,000 interviews upon which this book is based, with sources ranging from political leaders and chiefs of intelligence agencies to the operatives themselves, were approved by Israel's defense establishment. Most of the sources are identified by their names. Others, understandably, feared being identified and are therefore referred to by their initials or nicknames, in addition to any details about them I was able to provide while still keeping their identities secret. I have also made use of thousands of documents given to me by these sources, all of which are referenced for the first time here. My sources never received permission to remove these documents from their places of employment, and certainly did not have permission to pass them on to me. This book is thus about as far as possible from an authorized history of Israeli intelligence. So, why did these sources speak with me and supply me with these documents? Each had his own motive, and sometimes the story behind the scenes was only a little less interesting than the content of the interview itself. It is clear that some politicians and intelligence personnel, two professions highly skilled in manipulation and deception, were trying to use me as the conduit for their preferred version of events, or to shape history to suit themselves. I have tried to thwart such attempts by cross-checking with as many written and oral sources as I could. But it seemed to me that there was often another motive, which had much to do with a particularly Israeli contradiction. On the one hand, nearly everything in the country related to intelligence and national security is classified as top secret. On the other hand, everyone wants to speak about what they've done. Acts that people in other countries might be ashamed to admit to are instead a source of pride for Israelis, because they are collectively perceived as imperatives of national security, necessary to protect threatened Israeli lives, if not the very existence of the embattled state. After a time, the Mossad did manage to block access to some of my sources, in most cases only after they had already spoken to me. Many more have died since I met them, most of natural causes. Thus, the first-hand accounts that these men and women have given for this book, men and women who witnessed and participated in significant historic events, are in fact the only ones that exist outside the vaults of the defense establishment's secret archives. Occasionally, they are